This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Gwen and Chris for a Wednesday, kind of a wacky Wednesday. First hour of the show was a little wacky indeed. Chris Hello, coming to you from Las Vegas with the Aztecs basketball. And Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Peoria. He is covering broadcasting Padres baseball. They don't even give the team a day off when later on this evening they have to fly 13 and a half hours to Korea. But it's going to be a long day. It's great.
Why are you so worried about their sleep patterns?
I'm very concerned about these poor guys.
I don't think it matters. I mean, they're going to get there at 1:30. Or, you know, the Dodgers, they basically timed everything out so that their internal clock doesn't shift. They're overthinking this thing, I think.
Yeah. Well, the Padres are overthinking it, too. If you look at Kevin Acey's article, and we talked about it earlier about the 747 jet, or the VIP jet that they're taking over there and the seating arrangements. But the Padres have people in the organization that are like supposedly experts at traveling overseas.
Yeah, I did read that. That makes sense. Makes sense.
Well, they have a whole thing that now, according to the story, it's a really interesting story. If you happen to want to, you know, go find it online or pick up a newspaper.
I have Kevin it right Acey. Now if you want me to read the quote.
Well, read the part about where they're going to actually change the temperature of the air on the airplane to promote sleep at certain times during the flight and to promote people being awake at certain times. Did you see that?
Yeah, here it is. So This is from Kevin Acey, because I'm assuming he's on the plane. Okay. When the travel party boards the massive plane Wednesday night, waiting for them will be packets containing tart cherry juice and magnesium supplements that promote sleep and water, plenty of water. Lighting and heating will be manipulated throughout the flight to promote sleep and then to help discourage it. Wow, they're going to like make it 95 degrees in this plane so that they don't sleep?
Well, you just said the Dodgers are overthinking it. I don't know if the Padres aren't overthinking
This to me isn't overthinking it, because I think that those are pretty natural and normal things. You get cold, you stay awake. You get warm, you fall asleep.
Okay.
And the tart cherry juice, I've also heard, is for cramping and everything. Don Tricker, the Padres director of player health and performance, is also a frequent traveler to and from New Zealand. He said, it's easier to manage what you're doing around sleep on an international flight. If you think about when you're going across the country, it takes 5 hours. It's pretty hard to get a decent amount of sleep. So on this flight going into Korea, we sleep in the front end of the flight. We stay up at the back end of the flight. We sleep when we get to Korea. So there you go.
Yeah, well, good luck with all of that. I mean, I don't know. Here's how I do it when you got to travel a long distance. I sleep when I'm tired, and I'm awake when I'm awake. That's pretty much it. I think that's the way not to overthink it. If you're tired, sleep. If you're not, stay awake.
Okay.
Big whoop.
I like to sleep at night. I like to go to bed at certain times, and I like to wake up at certain times, just so I have that routine.
I like to sleep when I'm tired and stay awake when I'm awake. That's my theory on sleeping.
Well, you sleep a lot then.
Huh?
You sleep
How
a
do
lot
you know?
Then, because you're
How
really
you
tired
know?
All the time.
How do you know?
Because you're yawning all the time.
I yawn because you bore me, Scrape.
Oh, okay. Is that what it is? I gotta say real quick that something is up with the audio on the YouTube stream. I have no idea. I just plug it in the same every day, and everything changes from day to day. So, sorry, everybody. Everybody's yelling at me on the chat. I can't fix it. I have no idea. It's the same thing. It's always.
You know what? You people on the YouTube today are gonna have to go to the old-fashioned way and turn the radio on and listen to the show as we head into today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Chris, you did just sound like an alien there, so we're going to just push through this. If we have to reconnect, we'll reconnect. This is the last day that Chris will be doing the show from Las Vegas, unless there's some sort of postponement or something in the next couple hours. Anyway.
I hate to sound like an alien. Do I still sound like an alien?
No, you sound okay now. Huh. It sound okay now. I don't know. All right. As you can tell, I'm slightly frustrated by this audio situation that happens like on a daily basis. But here we go. I'm going to get over it. Aztecs last night, the women's, they played Boise State. Boise State -1.5 spread. They were the favorites. We all chose the Aztecs. We all win because they win 72-69. So we've already talked about that. UNLV, on the other hand, in the women's Mountain West tournament, there were 15.5 points favorites over Colorado State. Chris and I chose UNLV. Colorado State was chosen by Tony, but UNLV only won by 10. Does this make you feel a little bit better about tonight, Chris?
Yes, it does. It does make you feel better. Colorado State had to play very well and did play very well. And there's two ways of looking at it. They played very well and they still lost by 10. But at the other way of looking at it was that it was a close game with about 7 minutes to go, or maybe 5 minutes to go. Colorado State was only down 3 and had a chance. So I think it does make the Aztecs feel a little bit better that, you know, UNLV doesn't just crush everybody, because they didn't crush Colorado State last night.
That's true. That's true. We're going to get to the spread for the Aztecs women tonight in just a second, but that is true. Keep that in mind, everyone. Next one, Minnesota Timberwolves at the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers were 6.5 point favorites in this one. All of us chose the Clippers, and all of us shouldn't have chosen the Clippers because the Timberwolves won 118-100. My guy, Anthony Edwards, big night again.
He can't be your guy when you say how great he is and then you pick against him anyway.
I know. I shouldn't have done that.
You got to stick with your thought. The Clippers were winning that game by 22 points at one time, ended up losing by 18. Even my remedial math tells me that that's a 40-point swing in that game last night.
That is a lot. That is a lot.
Yeah.
The Knicks were 6.5 point favorites over the Sixers. And ever since Joel Embiid went down, the Sixers are one of the worst teams in basketball, it seems like. The Knicks, we all chose them. They won 106-79.
Second game in a row that Philadelphia scored 79, which is hard to do in the NBA this day and age.
That is hard to do in this day and age. I mean, that's it's not Doc Rivers. Who's the coach of this team?
I believe it's Nick Nurse, who was the Toronto coach when they won the title a few years ago.
That's not a glowing endorsement when you lose one player and your entire team collapses.
Yeah, but when that player's... Well, how good do you think the Nuggets would be if Jokic went out?
Probably better than what the Sixers are doing, I would hope.
I don't know. I think they'd be pretty mediocre.
All right, final one is Gonzaga. They played St. Mary's title last night. The men's... Gonzaga, 3.5 point favorites in this one. Chris and Tony chose Gonzaga. I chose St. Mary's. And St. Mary's wins it 69-60. So there you go. Yeah. Gonzaga does not win the West Coast Conference.
LeBron.
Yeah, a rarity. It was a bad day for Gonzaga. Their men's team lost the final. Their women's team also lost the final earlier in the day to Portland. The story there, Scraby, was that Gonzaga's women beat Portland by 50 points three weeks ago.
Yeah.
And yesterday, Portland turned it around and beat them.
That is
crazy. Don't think that Stacey Terry Hudson didn't tell her team about that last night.
She should.
That's what the Aztecs are trying to do tonight. They're trying to beat a team that beat them by 59 points 2.5 weeks ago.
That's crazy.
It can be done.
It can be done. Real quick, Chris, before you get into your bets in the Aztecs women's, tune in every Thursday and tomorrow at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Bennett Woods, Annie Nelson, Gwynn and Chris, and presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. Unfortunately, Chris, with your championship and Tony going to Korea, Gwynn nor Chris will be on tomorrow's, but you will be on the rest of them.
Yes, I will. I'm looking forward to those roundtables, and I was looking forward to tomorrow. There's nothing I can do because of my travel schedule, but it's a great thing for Padre fans. It really, truly is. I mean, it's 1 hour solid of Ben and Woods and Sam Levitt and Craig Elston and Annie and everybody, and hopefully I'll be there soon, not tomorrow, but just previewing the baseball season. Yeah. So it's definitely something you want to tune in tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Yes, controversial opinion, though. I really enjoy Roundtable. I think Roundtable is a pretty good pizza, gotta say.
Oh, you're talking about...
It's a really good pizza, I have to say.
I thought you just enjoyed Roundtables. I didn't know it was the pizza.
I do enjoy Roundtables as well, but Roundtable Pizza is the official sponsor of the Roundtables, so
and you're a
that's
fan.
Cool. I'm a huge fan.
You're a fan.
Whenever Tony orders pizza here, it's Roundtable.
Yeah. Well, maybe Roundtable ought to deliver pizza to all of us when we're doing the Roundtable. And then I'll
make sure
I think that's in the works.
I do.
Yeah, I think I'll save a little for you. All right, let's get to tonight's bets.
Okay.
You're welcome. Aztec women, we keep talking about the challenge ahead of them tonight. They're taking on UNLV, the number one seed for the West Mountain West Conference Championship tonight. The odds makers don't think the Aztecs have a chance in hell. The spread for this game tonight is ridiculous. UNLV is favored by 20.5 points over the Aztecs tonight.
That's wild.
Now, keep in mind, they beat the Aztecs by a lot more than that the last time they played.
They sure did.
But this is a championship game. I mean, I have to take the Aztecs here, Scrabe, and I know you do too. You're not going to jump ship now, are you?
No, not at all. And I honestly think that 20 points is too much.
I am not a fan of telling my players, you know, anything about the odds, especially college players. I don't like to even get involved. But I don't know if I wouldn't use that as a little motivation almost. Like, you know what? They're disrespecting you so much. They think they're going to lose by 3 touchdowns. I don't know if I would use that or not to motivate my team.
No, I wouldn't.
I don't think they need any more. I think they're in a good frame of mind as it is.
Yeah.
All right. The Mountain West men's tournament getting underway today. First round games. We told you earlier Fresno State defeated Wyoming in a bit of an upset. We have a game here later tonight. It actually precedes our championship game, Scraby. And it will be New Mexico, 14.5 points over Air Force. The only thing I will say about this, New Mexico is a 6th seed. The Air Force is the 11th seed. They finished in last place. But Air Force beat New Mexico in Albuquerque 3 weeks ago.
That's right, yeah.
So tonight, New Mexico is giving 14.5 points. Who do you like? It's a tough one.
I'm going to go with Air Force.
Can take Air Force here.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad call. I mean, Air Force, some teams just give other teams trouble.
That's true.
You know, maybe Air Force will give
talk about the Rockies and the Padres.
Trouble. Oh, God. Don't go there. Don't get me started. I'm going to take Air Force as well just because I can't root for Jalen House.
All right. Yes, that is right. Yeah. You do despise him.
Well, I don't. I'm not the only one.
That's
he
true.
Wants to be hated.
That's
he
true.
Wants to be disliked.
That's
so
true.
I'm just giving him what he wants.
Yes.
In the NBA tonight, a rematch of last year's NBA Finals. Denver Nuggets are 3.5-point favorites over the Miami Heat in Miami. I'm going to take Miami plus the points here. I think they're due for a big game.
Didn't they Denver just play like last week one. Or something?
Yeah, they did. They play twice a year, and they're playing both games pretty close together.
I'm going to stay
Denver
with...
Denver won the first meeting.
I'm going to stay with the Nuggies.
The Nuggies on the road.
Yes, Nuggies on the road.
You've got them.
Thank you.
All right, Lakers are on the road tonight at Sacramento. Lakers are favored by 3.5. But I caution you, Sacramento has won all three games between the Lakers and Kings this season, including last week in L.A. So who do you like tonight? Lakers favored by 3.5.
These are the two teams that always just make me lose. I pick the Lakers, then they lose. I pick the Kings, then they lose. So this is a lose-lose for me, but I'm going to go with the Lakers.
Going to go with the Lakers. Giving the 3.5 to finally beat Sacramento.
Actually, you know what?
What?
I'm sorry. Danny and Chula Vista said on the chat for me to take the Kings. I'm taking the Kings.
Really?
Yeah.
Danny and Chula Vista changed your mind?
Yes. That was a sign from up above that I needed to change my mind.
Okay. Just because I don't know who Danny from Chula Vista is, I'll take the Lakers. They can't lose 4 straight times to the Kings.
That would be rough.
That would be rough. So I'll take the Lakers. We got one more. The Pac-12 first round game tonight. A Bay Area battle between Stanford and Cal. Stanford is a 1.5-point favorite. I am going with Cal. I think they're better than Stanford. So that's my reasoning there. I'll take Cal. They played the Aztecs tough earlier this year. Took them into overtime.
You know what? I'm going with my guy and his school, Greg Camarillo, Stanford.
Oh, your guy, Greg Camarillo.
Yeah. We need to get him on sometime soon.
Yeah, we haven't had him on in a long time.
That's very true.
All right, there's our Daily Gambit for today. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check some traffic first. But then our discussion about Jackson Merrill and some of the other young Padres. Is spring training's performances making all of us overrate and hype these young players? We'll talk about it when we come back on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ello, Matt Scraby today. Gwen and Chris. Well, don't let me leave out the apprentice who is there working alongside Scraby in studio today, Nick DiNucci.
We Tony should make Junior's... a show, The Apprentice. Oh, wait, that's already taken.
Oh, nah, that would never work.
That would never work.
The Apprentice? Yeah, kind of a dumb title.
Moving on.
I can't believe that the host of that show was also a president of our country. But then again, I can't believe that Aaron Rodgers might be the vice president of our country someday.
Very true.
You know,
very true.
Crazy things are happening all around us. Chris Ello, Scraby, Nick DiNucci today. Tony is calling a wild game in Peoria. Last we left it, it was 8-0 Padres. Well, just like that, the A's scored 7 runs and made it 8-7. They got some runs off of Luis Patino and Adrian Morejon. But in the bottom of the 6th inning, Tyler Wade answered the call for the Padres with a grand slam. So now it is Padres 12, A's 7.
So he's trying to make a last-minute push for this roster, assuming
he's got to make it. I think I don't know who's all going to make it because too many guys have done good, you know, or done well.
Yeah.
Sorry about my grammar.
No, they've done good.
Too many guys have done well. Somebody's going to have to get sent to the minor leagues, but I think that I know they'd like to keep Brett Sullivan to have a third catcher and give him a little more maneuverability, but I just think other guys have done more and deserve to make it. You know, you're going to have Higashioka as your backup catcher. I think you've got to have both Tyler Wade and Graham Pauly make this team. And then you've got to have a Zokar as your fourth outfielder.
You do.
So I don't think you can send either Wade or Pauly down. And, you know, now they get an extra five guys on the roster for the two games in Korea. So it's not going to be an issue right away.
Yeah.
But it's going to be very interesting to see who the 26 guys are when they have the opening day in San Diego on March 31st. That will be interesting.
That's the day that I will really find out the roster because it's kind of like not patchwork, but there's so many things that are going to be with the Korea roster that aren't going to be with the regular roster. So,
right.
If that made any sense.
Now, you asked this question earlier, and the question was, are we overhyping Jackson Merrill?
Yes.
And to a certain extent, are we overhyping any of the other, you know, young players? My answer to that question, Scraby, is 100% yes, we are overhyping Jackson Merrill. And it's not our fault. He has played great this spring. He has given us no reason to doubt him. He has given us no reason not to think that he can't hit major league pitching. And if you didn't think he could hit major league pitching, the home run he hit off of Zach Gallen the other day ought to end any fears you might still have. Zach Gallen is one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. Jackson Merrill took him out.
He did.
I just think... But we are still overhyping this guy, and the reason we're overhyping him is because we're to the point now where I think people are believing that Jackson Merrill is going to come in right away and be Fernando Tatis Jr. And that just is not even remotely realistic.
Well, he doesn't need to be. He doesn't need to be.
No, he doesn't need to be, but all right, I'll pick somebody else. Michael Harris, the former Rookie of the Year for the Braves. I mean, people are thinking Jackson Merrill is the best Jackson to come up in baseball this season.
Well, that's the quote from Aldin Gonzalez yesterday.
That's right. Aldin Gonzalez said he might be better than Jackson Holliday, the young, you know, superstar for the Orioles. But Jackson Merrill, once the season starts, again, everything's going to start at 0-0, and all of the pitchers are going to be focused and locked in, and the scouting reports are going to be more intense. And the question is going to still be, can Jackson Merrill really basically make the jump from Double A to the big leagues at the age of 21? He's answered that question with an affirmative in spring training.
Yeah.
But he's going to be, we're going to ask it again when the season starts.
Yes, we will. We will.
So I think we are overhyping him. What do you think, Scrabe? Are we overhyping him?
I don't think we are because... And this wasn't my take. This was from one of the Scrabinators, the Scraby Show listeners that were listening last night. And they said, this person said, like, how can we be overhyping if Mike Schilt and Manny and Fernando are all saying the same things that we're saying about him? If we're going to be taking our lead, it's from those guys. So if they weren't talking as positively as they are about him, then I don't think we're overhyping him. Now, I do think... that we may be two roses, what is it, roses and sunshine, and he's going to struggle throughout the year, and fans are going to have to deal with that, and fans are going to have to stay behind him throughout the year when he's going to be a year where he just comes up and never gets out, and everybody knows that.
I believe it's peaches and cream, not roses and sunshine, but I know where you were going.
It's a scrabyism, roses and sunshine. I do have some bad news, Chris, real quick. I do have some bad news from the Padres game. Sammy Leavitt tweeted, Jerickson Profar walked off the field and through the right field gate under his own power during the inning break. Hard to see from behind home plate, but it didn't look like a significant limp. We'll wait for an update postgame. Not sure what actually happened, but Jerickson Profar did have to leave the game early today because of some sort of injury. So
he just wants to get on the plane and get comfortable for his FIFA game against Manny Machado.
That is true. Here's AJ Casavell. He has more information. Jerickson Profar went down at first base after rounding the bag hard. After staying down for a while, he limped off the field under his own power. He is the Padres' presumed starter in left field and was 3-for-3 with a homer today. So, of course.
Okay. I'm not going to panic on that one. Not going to panic on that one. We'll take a break when we come back. Uncle Teddy joins us. So excited to have Ted Leitner on the program ahead of the Aztecs Mountain West Conference opener tomorrow against UNLV. We'll see what Ted Leitner has to say next on Gwynn and Chris. So all of you Gwynn and Chrisinators, stay tuned. You love Mediterranean food. If you love Mediterranean food like I love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine. They're in Coronado and in La Jolla. For dining and takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris, 3:37 the time. Chris Ello in Las Vegas. Matt Scraby, the Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego, along with our apprentice today, Nick DiNucci. Scraby, you finally shamed Ben Pearson and I into taking out the trash from our room.
I did this?
Yeah, I'm glad you did it. I think it was high time. We had Stacy on. She said her room was cleaned up a couple of times. We have not had our room cleaned up during this entire 5-day trip. The trash was piling up. It had to go.
During the break.
So it's now sitting out in the hallway.
During the break, all I hear down the line is, we do got to get this trash out of here. Do you have a bag?
Yeah, so we finally straightened up, tidied up a little bit here in our lovely confines.
A branch
of our hotel
off question
in Las Vegas.
To that. What have you been eating each day?
What have I been eating?
Yeah, are you eating fast food?
I eat with the team.
Oh, that's true.
No, the team has meals. The team has meals throughout the day. And yeah, they take pretty good care of us. And, you know, eggs and things in the morning and some sandwiches. And I had an acai bowl here a little while ago. So, yeah, I'm doing okay food-wise. Doing okay.
Good.
It's not a fast food gorge fest. So that's good.
Okay. I love fast food.
Although my goddaughter lives... I know, we all do. My goddaughter lives in Las Vegas, and we did go out for a couple of big meals while I was here, so it was nice to see her. So that I've had a great trip. I mean, it really has been a great trip. All right, Ted Leitner is on his way to Las Vegas with the Aztec men's basketball team. They begin their Mountain West Conference tournament tomorrow against UNLV. That's the same school that the Aztec women will play tonight for the championship. Always a great pleasure to catch up with Uncle Teddy, and Scraby and I were able to track him down before he got on the plane today.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Well, guys, looks like we already checked ladder and lanes off of our afternoon commute bingo card. A vehicle hit one on westbound 905 just before Caliente. That vehicle is over the right shoulder. Ladder still in lanes.
And it is always a great pleasure to talk with one of the great voices of San Diego. And that is now the voice of San Diego State basketball and football, Ted Leitner. Long time no talk, Ted. How you doing? I'm sure you're getting excited for another March Madness run with the Aztecs.
Yeah, I know I am. And the bar is, as you know, very high after last year. And that's why I think this season, what's happened the last few games or two games is so, gosh, it's just eerie and scary because they've always... you know, peaked to tournament time. And this time, the last two games, can't make shots. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. I'm going to put it on a T-shirt real soon. the way they defend and the way they rebound, if they make shots, they can beat anyone in the country. And I'm convinced of that. But they haven't, as I think you've noticed, made shots.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a struggle for sure. And I was going to ask you, I mean, I think everybody who probably talks to you, you know, as we get to March says, you know, what do you think the difference is between this year and last year's team? We really won't know the answer to that until the end of the the NCAA tournament. But as you look at the two teams, how do you rate this year's team versus last year's team?
Well, I believe last year's team is better. I really do. I don't know if it's the absolute best Aztec team of all time, because you're talking about three to choose from, at least in my time. And I don't think there's anything before that that was really anywhere near what Fisher and Dutcher have done. So, you know, you're talking about Kawhi's team at 34-3 back in 10-11. You're talking about Malachi's team in the COVID season of 2020 that was 30-2, and then there's no NCAA, and last year's team. And it's difficult to compare them, compare any team that doesn't have Kawhi, though Kawhi wasn't the shooter that he became in San Antonio and now on to the rest of his NBA career. But it's hard to pick. But I know this is not, doesn't have the depth. I mean, last year, my gosh, those guys that came off the bench, you could have made another separate team at a separate school out of those guys. They could have started a whole bunch of other places, not just the Mountain West, and to bring another team off the bench, that kind of depth the Aztecs have never had. They don't have that now in terms of the experience. Bird, Saunders, those guys are going to be absolutely terrific, but they're not that experienced like the guys who they would bring off, you know, a 5- and 6-year senior off the bench. So, no, it's not as good as last year. But and you can expect when you lose a Matt Bradley in terms of, you know, somebody who can get to the rim, if the perimeter shots are not falling, they have not had that this year because everybody's three-point numbers, Butler, Parrish, Powell, have gone down. Powell obviously didn't play last year, but you know what I mean, in terms of it's just uncanny. The worst shooting team for threes and overall in the entire conference, and one of the worst in the country. Who could have possibly seen that? And I know you take an Adam Seiko and a Matt Bradley off the team, you've lost some shooting, but not that much. There are still individually really good shooters on this club. But for some reason, it isn't just a slump of one, it's a slump of all of them. Go figure.
That is very strange. We're talking to Uncle Teddy, Ted Leitner, here on 97.3 The Fan. And it's also strange because the Aztecs might have one of the top five basketball players in the country in Jaden Ledee, but the media voted him as the Mountain West Player of the Year. The coaches did not vote him the Mountain West Player of the Year. What say you about the coaches not voting him as the Mountain West Player of the Year?
You know, Matt, it's so... all that stuff is so subjective. Just even Hall of Fames sometimes are subjective. And then these kind of teams are just, I mean, look at the media. No offense, media. Look at the media poll that picked the order of finish in the Mountain West. And they had Utah State ninth. Ninth, I tells you. And they did that strictly on, well, he has nobody returning, no starters, no Letterman, not 1 point, not one rebound for the previous 20-game winning team. And he's got nothing coming. He's coming a transfer, a couple of transfers. He's coming from Montana State, new coach. They're ninth. That's what the media knows. They don't know who's really coming in the portal, how good they are, how terrific they are. And that guy brought, you know, Cornelius, he brought Brown and he brought Osabor with him. And that changed the balance of power with transfers in the Mountain West. They were terrific players. Do I think Osabor is a better player or better pro prospect than Jaden Ledee? Absolutely, objectively not. He is not. And the coaches are voting, and that's fine. But you know how the coaches are. They don't really pay that close attention to that any more than they do when they vote in the AP, or rather the ESPN poll, the USA Today poll, rather, for the coaches' poll. So it's all so subjective. But I think Jaden has a chance, depending on who's there, who can draft him with his shooting and his improved footwork and defense. I think Jaden can play in the NBA. I truly do. What a great Aztec in just 2 years.
Yeah, it's really been great watching him play this year. Ted, you know, you've been around, you were around Steve Fisher, and I know when you were around Steve Fisher, you thought, I'm probably lucky to be around one of the greatest coaches I've ever been around. And you've been around a lot of them in all sports. But I know Steve Fisher was special. And now Brian Dutcher comes along. And it's in the same, cut from the same cloth, obviously, as Fisher's assistant. But he's got his own ways about him. What has really impressed you about Dutch now as you go through the first 5 or 6 years? And how does he compare to some of the other leaders you've seen go to work over the years?
He's incredibly understated. He is not, he got excited by a couple of, you know, calls or non-calls this year, more than I've ever seen him. But then there's been calls and non-calls this year, more than I've ever seen. And that, again, goes to Ledee, that somehow the officials have decided, well, you know, he's a big, strong guy, big biceps. He's 6'9", 240. And they want to pound on him. Unless it's really egregious, we won't call it. And they haven't. It's been outrageous. If it's a foul, it's a foul, whether it's against Trammell at 5'10 and 180, or it's against Ladee. So I know Dutch has been aggravated like that. You can see the look on Ladee's face. He never complains, but it's a matter of just pounded, pushed across the paint, and stumbling, being hit so hard, that look on his face of, come on, aren't you going to call that? That's gone on all year. But to answer your question, it wasn't just Steve Fisher, one of the great coaches I got to travel with and call friend, one of the great people in all of sports that I've been in all the markets I've been in. I started basketball at Oklahoma State with Henry Iba, who was so respected, the Olympic coach and all that, that nobody would call him Coach Iba. They thought they needed something higher than that. So everybody, including the school president, called him Mr. Iba. It was Mr. Iba. I got to know him. I got to do games around him. And then I have Steve Fisher for the length of his Aztec career. I mean, I don't know what I ever did to be so lucky, but I am. And you've got Fish and you've got Dutch at 1 and 1A. They've been together. They think together. They think defense. Dutch relates to his players so well, just like Fish did. To have that kind of a transition, and people thought, wow, they're waiting, a coach in waiting, and is that good for the program? It has been unbelievable. SUCLA and all these other schools that replaced big-time coaches like that, what's gone on since? And to have this with not missing a beat and taking the Aztecs further than they've ever been last year, these two coaches have done, not just built the program, but they continued it, and that's hard to do.
It is very hard to do. We're talking to Ted Leitner here, Aztecs men's basketball play-by-play man, as well as football, but no one needs to know that. They already know that. And we were talking about Brian Dutcher and Fisher in this way, that the Aztecs have had two coaches for a very long time, and it provides stability. But yeah. With the program being where it's at now, I want to ask specifically about Lamont Butler and what is his legacy going to be for Aztecs basketball? Because obviously he hit one of the biggest shots in San Diego sports history, but he's also won the Defensive Player of the Year as well. So what are you thinking that we're going to remember about Lamont Butler?
Well, I think whatever you talk about in terms of his intangibles, and there's so many, I mean, this is a down-to-earth kid, and I was in Louisville. And going up the elevator with his parents, who I've known since he was here. Wonderful, wonderful people. You would expect that, knowing Lamont. And they were talking about NIL, and I asked him about that. And Lamont Sr. said, you know, Ted, we're a family. We don't have a lot of money, but we're just not about money. You know, we're just not about money. We're not his parents, and other children have not been. And Lamont, if Lamont is happy and loves his brothers there, which he really does, then why go someplace for money? Why change for money? They're an amazing family and an amazing player. I don't know. I mean, he went from first team all conference, and not just based on the shot against New Mexico and the shot against Florida Atlantic, but he went from a good shooter to absolutely can't shoot all year. I've never seen anything quite like it. Not the three, 54% on free throws. Wow. And if he makes that, you know, front end and both are the 1-1, then they beat. The game's over against Boise State. They do not lose that game. Not to put it on him, but it's just uncanny how he's shooting. So he's gone without the shooting from first team to no team this year. And I've never seen an Aztec do that. But he is one of the defenders they have ever had. I think that will be his legacy. And, of course, the shot, the greatest single play in Aztec history. He will always be remembered for that. I told Dave Roberts that. When he was with the Padres, we were in Chicago for the opening day, and he had flown back to Boston for the opening ceremonies with the Red Sox after he'd stolen the base when they were down 3-0 to the Yankees. They come back, and they win their first World Series in 100 years. And I said, Ted, you think I should go back? Is that a bad look to go back to the Red Sox when I'm a Padre? I said, hey, Yastrzemski, Ted Williams, all those guys. You're in that pantheon. Forgive that fancy word, but you're now one of the all-time names for what you did, that one play on that stolen base that started what it started. You should go back. You're a Red Sox for life, whether you're a Padre or anything else. And he went back. I know some Padre players grumbled about it back then, but he did the right thing. I mean, and same thing, Lamont will always be known for that play. Incredible, incredible, special moment. And he should be proud of that, really proud.
Ted Leitner's with us. Ted, ran into you the other night before the Boise State game, and the thing we kind of got to talking about was how lucky you have been, and you have certainly taken every bit of it with grace, but just to call such a tremendous run last year and to be part of such an exciting program and a successful program. I mean, you have waited as long as anybody to be around a winning team consistently, right? I mean, Padres baseball, Aztecs football, we've talked about it, but this is a great moment in your life. And I mean, you're, you know, at the nearer the end of your career than you are the beginning. I imagine for you, it's really special. You know, I don't think there's a game that goes by that you probably don't say, man, I feel like one of the luckiest broadcasters out there.
I do. And I always have. I remember doing a Charger game on radio with Hank Bauer. We were in Kansas City, and the Chargers were down 3 touchdowns going into the fourth quarter. We saw Dean Spanos' private plane fly over the stadium in Kansas City in the middle of the fourth going home. that's not true. I said, hey, Hank, there goes our ride. True, because we'd come out with Dean and Susie, and there they go. I thought, well, I guess we're going back on the Charter, eh? Yeah. And later on in that game, we went to a commercial break, and I said to Hank, God, I loved this. And he looked at me like, what are you, stupid? They're down 3 touchdowns. I said, no, it's not the score. And play-by-play guys, Chris will tell you that, play-by-play guys love what they do. So to be able to do that and had a lot of losses with the Padres and Aztec football, basketball way back in the 80s and 90s. But what I've had the last 10, 15 years in football and basketball and double-digit football wins and bowl games and this run by the basketball, not just the wins, but the kind of kids they get. Old school guys, we defend, we work, we're brothers, we have each other's back. Old school is such a pleasure to be around them than I have been. I consider myself, I don't want to sound a Lou Gehrig here, but I really have been a very, very lucky guy. So incredibly lucky. And it's not so much, Matt, the idea that I'm at the end of my career. It's more, I'm more worried about being at the end of my life. You start writing those big numbers, and it's not, hey, how many more games can I do? No, it's
age is just a number.
Everything can I do?
Well, you know, Ted, you said you're lucky, one of the luckier guys, and I think anybody who's listened to you over the years, going back to watching your telecasts and sportscasts on Channel 8, which, by the way, are still the most amazing sportscasts anybody's ever done, doing it without a script.
Thank you.
But we were all lucky in San Diego and have been lucky for so many years to have a voice to carry us through. You love Mediterranean food. If you love Mediterranean food like I love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine. They're in Coronado and in La Jolla. For dining and takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris, 3:37 the time. Chris Ello in Las Vegas. Matt Scraby, the Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego, along with our apprentice today, Nick DiNucci. Scraby, you finally shamed Ben Pearson and I into taking out the trash from our room.
I did this?
Yeah, I'm glad you did it. I think it was high time. We had Stacy on. She said her room was cleaned up a couple of times. We have not had our room cleaned up during this entire 5-day trip. The trash was piling up. It had to go.
During the break.
So it's now sitting out in the hallway.
During the break, all I hear down the line is, we do got to get this trash out of here. Do you have a bag?
Yeah, so we finally straightened up, tidied up a little bit here in our lovely confines.
A branch off question to that. What have you been eating each day?
What have I been eating?
Yeah, are you eating fast food?
I eat with the team.
Oh, that's true.
No, the team has meals. The team has meals throughout the day. And yeah, they take pretty good care of us. And, you know, eggs and things in the morning and some sandwiches. And I had an acai bowl here a little while ago. So, yeah, I'm doing okay food-wise. Doing okay.
Good.
It's not a fast food gorge fest. So that's good.
Okay. I love fast food.
Although my goddaughter lives... I know, we all do. My goddaughter lives in Las Vegas, and we did go out for a couple of big meals while I was here, so it was nice to see her. So I've had a great trip. I mean, it really has been a great trip. All right, Ted Leitner is on his way to Las Vegas with the Aztec men's basketball team. They begin their Mountain West Conference tournament tomorrow against UNLV. That's the same school that the Aztec women will play tonight for the championship. Always a great pleasure to catch up with Uncle Teddy, and Scraby and I were able to track him down before he got on the plane today.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danik.
Well, guys, looks like we already checked ladder and lanes off of our afternoon commute bingo card. A vehicle hit one on westbound 905 just before Caliente. That vehicle is over the right shoulder. Ladder still in lanes.
And it is always a great pleasure to talk with one of the great voices of San Diego. And that is now the voice of San Diego State basketball and football, Ted Leitner. Long time no talk, Ted. How you doing? I'm sure you're getting excited for another March Madness run with the Aztecs.
Yeah. I know, I am, and the bar is, as you know, very high after last year. And that's why I think this season, what's happened the last few games or two games is so, gosh, it's just eerie and scary because they've always, you know, peaked to tournament time. And this time, the last two games, can't make shots. If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. I'm going to put it on a T-shirt real soon. the way they defend, and the way they rebound. If they make shots, they can beat anyone in the country, and I'm convinced of that. But they haven't, as I think you've noticed, made shots.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a struggle for sure. And I was going to ask you, I mean, I think everybody who probably talks to you, you know, as we get to March says, you know, what do you think the difference is between this year and last year's team? We really won't know the answer to that until the end of the NCAA tournament. But as you look at the two teams, how do you rate this year's team versus last year's team?
Well, I believe last year's team is better. I really do. I don't know if it's the absolute best Aztec team of all time, because you're talking about three to choose from, at least in my time. And I don't think there's anything before that that was really anywhere near what Fisher and Dutcher have done. So, you know, you're talking about Kawhi's team at 34-3 back in 10-11. You're talking about Malachi's team in the COVID season of 2020 that was 30-2, and then there's no NCAA, and last year's team. And it's difficult to compare them, compare any team that doesn't have Kawhi, though Kawhi wasn't the shooter that he became in San Antonio and now on to the rest of his NBA career. But it's hard to pick. But I know this is not, doesn't have the depth. I mean, last year, my gosh, those guys that came off the bench, you could have made another separate team at a separate school out of those guys. They could have started a whole bunch of other places, not just the Mountain West. And to bring another team off the bench, that kind of depth the Aztecs have never had. They don't have that now in terms of the experience. Bird, Saunders, those guys are going to be absolutely terrific, but they're not that experienced like the guys who they would bring off, you know, a 5- and 6-year senior off the bench. So, no, it's not as good as last year. But and you can expect when you lose a Matt Bradley in terms of, you know, somebody who can get to the rim, if the perimeter shots are not falling, they have not had that this year because everybody's three-point numbers, Butler, Parrish, Powell, have gone down. Powell obviously didn't play last year, but you know what I mean, in terms of it's just uncanny. The worst shooting team for threes and overall in the entire conference, and one of the worst in the country. Who could have possibly seen that? And I know you take an Adam Sekou and a Matt Bradley off the team, you've lost some shooting, but not that much. There are still individually really good shooters on this club. But for some reason, it isn't just a slump of one, it's a slump of all of them. Go figure.
That is very strange. We're talking to Uncle Teddy, Ted Leitner, here on 97.3 The Fan. And it's also strange because the Aztecs might have one of the top five basketball players in the country in Jaden Ledee, but the media voted him as the Mountain West Player of the Year. The coaches did not vote him the Mountain West Player of the Year. What say you about the coaches not voting him as the Mountain West Player of the Year?
You know, Matt, it's so... All that stuff is so subjective. Just even Hall of Fames sometimes are subjective. And then these kind of teams are just, I mean, look at the media. No offense, media. Look at the media poll that picked the order of finish in the Mountain West. And they had Utah State ninth. Ninth, I tells you. And they did that strictly on, well, he has nobody returning, no starters, no Letterman, not 1 point, not one rebound for the previous 20-game winning team. And he's got nothing coming. He's coming a transfer, a couple of transfers. He's coming from Montana State, new coach. They're ninth. That's what the media knows. They don't know who's really coming in the portal, how good they are, how terrific they are. And that guy brought, you know, Cornelius, he brought Brown, and he brought Osabor with him. And that changed the balance of power with transfers in the Mountain West. They were terrific players. Do I think Osabor is a better player or a better pro prospect than Jaden Ledee? Absolutely, objectively not. He is not. and the coaches are voting. The coaches are voting, and that's fine. But you know how the coaches are; they don't really pay that close attention to that any more than they do when they vote in the AP, or rather the ESPN poll, the USA Today poll, rather, for the coaches poll. So it's all so subjective. But I think Jaden has a chance, depending on who's there, who can draft him with his shooting and his improved footwork and defense. I think Jaden can play in the NBA. I truly do. What a great asset in just 2 years.
Yeah, it's really been great watching him play this year. Ted, you've been around, you were around Steve Fisher, and I know when you were around Steve Fisher, you thought, I'm probably lucky to be around one of the greatest coaches I've ever been around, and you've been around a lot of them in all sports. But I know Steve Fisher was special, and now Brian Dutcher comes along, and it's in the same cut from the same cloth, obviously, as Fisher's assistant, but he's got his own ways about him. What has really impressed you about Dutch now as you go through the first 5 or 6 years, and how does he compare to some of the other leaders you've seen go to work over the years?
He's incredibly understated. He is not, he got excited by a couple of, calls or non-calls this year, more than I've ever seen him. But then there's been calls and non-calls this year, more than I've ever seen. And that, again, goes to LaDee, that somehow the officials have decided, well, he's a big, strong guy, big biceps. He's 6'9", 240, and they want to pound on him. Unless it's really egregious, we won't call it. And they haven't. It's been outrageous. If it's a foul, it's a foul, whether it's against Trammell at 5'10 and 180, or it's against LaDee. So I know Dutch has been aggravated like that. You can see the look on LaDee's face. He never complains, but it's a matter of just pounded, pushed across the paint, and stumbling, being hit so hard. That look on his face of, come on, aren't you going to call that? That's gone on all year. But to answer your question, it wasn't just Steve Fisher, one of the great coaches I got to travel with and call friend, one of the great people in all of sports that I've been in all the markets I've been in. I started basketball at Oklahoma State with Henry Iba, who was so respected, the Olympic coach and all that, that nobody would call him Coach Iba. They thought they needed something higher than that. So everybody, including the school president, called him Mr. Iba. It was Mr. Iba. I got to know him. I got to do games around him. And then I have Steve Fisher for the length of his Aztec career. I mean, I don't know what I ever did to be so lucky, but I am. And you've got Fish and you've got Dutch at 1 and 1A. They've been together. They think together. They think defense. Dutch relates to his players so well, just like Fish did. To have that kind of a transition, and people thought, wow, they're waiting, a coach in waiting, and is that good for the program? It has been unbelievable. Ask UCLA and all these other schools that replaced big-time coaches like that, what's gone on since. And to have this with not missing a beat and taking the Aztecs further than they've ever been last year, these two coaches have done, not just built the program, but they continued it, and that's hard to do.
It is very hard to do. We're talking to Ted Leitner here, Aztecs men's basketball play-by-play man, as well as football, but no one needs to know that. They already know that. And we were talking about Brian Dutcher and Fisher in this way, that the Aztecs have had two coaches for a very long time, and it provides stability. But yeah. With the program being where it's at now, I want to ask specifically about Lamont Butler, and what is his legacy going to be for Aztecs basketball? Because obviously he hit one of the biggest shots in San Diego sports history, but he's also won the Defensive Player of the Year as well. So what are you thinking that we're going to remember about Lamont Butler?
Well, I think whatever you talk about in terms of his intangibles, and there's so many. I mean, this is a down-to-earth kid, and I was in Louisville. Yeah, and going up the elevator with his parents, who I've known since he was here. Wonderful, wonderful people. You would expect that, knowing Lamont. And they were talking about NIL, and I asked him about that. And Lamont Sr. said, Ted, we're a family. We don't have a lot of money, but we're just not about money. We're just not about money. We're not his parents, and our other children have not been. And Lamont, if Lamont is happy and loves his brothers there, which he really does, then why go someplace for money? Why change for money? They're an amazing family and an amazing player. I don't know. I mean, he went from first team all conference, and not just based on the shot against New Mexico and the shot against Florida Atlantic, but he went from a good shooter to absolutely can't shoot all year. I've never seen anything quite like it. Not the three, 54% on free throws. Wow. And if he makes that, you know, front end and both are the 1-1, then they beat. The game's over against Boise State. They do not lose that game. Not to put it on him, but it's just uncanny how he's shooting. So he's gone without the shooting from first team to no team this year. And I've never seen an Aztec do that. But he is one of the best, one of the defenders they have ever had. I think that will be his legacy. And, of course, the shot, the greatest single play in Aztec history. He will always be remembered for that. I told Dave Roberts that. When he was with the Padres, we were in Chicago for the opening day, and he had flown back to Boston for the opening ceremonies with the Red Sox after he'd stolen the base when they were down 3-0 to the Yankees. They come back, and they win their first World Series in 100 years. And I said, Ted, you think I should go back? Is that a bad look to go back to the Red Sox when I'm a Padre? I said, hey, Yastrzemski, Ted Williams, all those guys. You're in that pantheon. Forgive that fancy word, but you're now one of the all-time names for what you did, that one play on that stolen base that started what it started. You should go back. You're a Red Sox for life, whether you're a Padre or anything else. And he went back. I know some Padre players grumbled about it back then, but he did the right thing. I mean, and same thing, Lamont will always be known for that play. Incredible, incredible, special moment, and he should be proud of that, really proud.
Ted Leitner's with us. Ted, ran into you the other night before the Boise State game, and the thing we kind of got to talking about was how lucky you have been, and you have certainly taken every bit of it with grace, but just to call such a tremendous run last year and to be part of such an exciting program and a successful program, I mean, you have waited as long as anybody to be around a winning team consistently, right? I mean, Padres baseball, Aztecs football, we've talked about it. But this is a great moment in your life. And, I mean, you're at the nearer the end of your career than you are the beginning. I imagine for you, it's really special. You know, I don't think there's a game that goes by that you probably don't say, man, I feel like one of the luckiest broadcasters out there.
I do. I always have. I remember doing a Charger game on radio with Hank Bauer. We were in Kansas City, and the Chargers were down 3 touchdowns going into the fourth quarter. We saw Dean Spanos' private plane fly over the stadium in Kansas City in the middle of the fourth going home. that's not true. I said, hey, Hank, there goes our ride. True, because we'd come out with Dean and Susie, and there they go. I thought, well, I guess we're going back on the Charter, eh? Yeah. And later on in that game, we went to a commercial break. And I said to Hank, God, I love this. And he looked at me like, what are you, stupid? They're down 3 touchdowns. I said, no, it's not the score. And play-by-play guys, Chris will tell you that, play-by-play guys love what they do. So to be able to do that and had a lot of losses with the Padres and Aztec football, basketball way back in the 80s and 90s. But what I've had the last 10, 15 years in football and basketball and double-digit football wins and bowl games and this run by the basketball, not just the wins, but the kind of kids they get. Old-school guys, we defend, we work, we're brothers, we have each other's back. Old school is such a pleasure to be around them than I have been. I consider myself, I don't want to sound like a Lou Gehrig here, but I really have been a very, very lucky guy. So incredibly lucky. And it's not so much, Matt, the idea that I'm at the end of my career. It's more, I'm more worried about being at the end of my life. you start writing those big numbers, and it's not, hey, how many more games can I do? No, it's
age is just a number.
Everything can I do?
Yeah. Well, you know, Ted, you said you're lucky, one of the luckier guys, and I think anybody who's listened to you over the years, going back to watching your telecasts and sportscasts on Channel 8, which, by the way, are still the most amazing sportscasts anybody's ever done, doing it without a script.
Thank you.
But we were all lucky in San Diego and have been lucky for so many years to have a voice to carry us through all of these glorious times. Have a great trip to Las Vegas. I'm here. I mean, the Aztec women are still here, which is, you know, a little surprising. So, you know, hopefully I'll run into you here at the hotel before we go home tomorrow.
It's a deal. And not just the Aztec women are still here. I mean, they beat San Jose State. They upset the number 2 seed, New Mexico. They beat Boise State yesterday. And now they have a team with a home court advantage. Gee, wait a minute. The Aztec men have a team they have to play with a home court advantage. As we say, only in the Mountain West. But the women, yeah. And Coach Stacy, I'm so happy for her. She's a wonderful person and a wonderful coach, and I'm so glad the women are where they are.
Yeah, she is. They're enjoying every minute, and they'll be looking to pull off a major upset tonight. And then the Aztecs will take on UNLV tomorrow with Ted Leitner on the call. Ted, thanks for making some time for us today, and look forward to catching up with you as soon as we can.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it very, very much.
Always the best to catch up with Uncle Teddy, Ted Leitner there, as he and the Aztec men's basketball team get ready to join me here in Las Vegas. They are not getting into town until a little later this evening, Scraby, which I will say surprises me somewhat. Normally for a 2:30 game tomorrow afternoon, I would expect that they would come in, you know, in the early afternoon today. But Ted was explaining to you and I that the Mountain West Conference mm-hmm. is in charge of the Aztecs' travel plans for this tournament.
Yeah.
And since the Aztecs did not secure a first-round bye until the very last game of the season, the Mountain West Conference waited too long to make their travel arrangements. So the only way they can get here is in three separate flights this afternoon. What kind of deal is that?
That's not a great deal. What are we, like a little league team?
No kidding, man. It's the Mountain West Championship. Do it upright.
Do it upright, and I mean, if there's any time for a charter, I know Vegas is close, but I think to a tournament, you should be able to charter.
Yeah, they should have chartered. But anyway, the Aztecs men will be in town later tonight. The Aztec women tonight will take on UNLV for the chip. And we're coming back with more Gwen and Chris. Chris versus the fans. Dial in if you want to play a little trivia. 833-288-0973. And you too could be going to Las Vegas.
Woo!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.